You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And we've got yet again another great program for you today, folks. Tis the season for giving. And so we are delighted to have back on the program North Carolina Secretary of State Elaine Marshall to talk about charitable giving here in North Carolina, as well as charity scams and how to protect yourself from them. But before we get to her, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined here in the studio with my, what shall we say, co-conspirator, partner in crime, esteemed production engineer here at WPTF, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir? Happy holidays to you.
I'm doing great, Mike. Thank you very much. You know, you always build me up, and I always need to build you up, too, because you people, you know, we're on radio, but they can't see. You always have good fashion sense. And I got to say, AARP has some very nice swag. It looks really good. It looks very sharp.
I appreciate that, even on a Friday. And you've got your sweater with your collar going. That's, well, dressed well for the weather, this very cold end to the fall that we're having here, Jason.
We are.
You know, I always like to go on about the weather, and I guess in another life I must have been a meteorologist, but because I'm always talking about it. But it's definitely been quite a season of change. I remember last year this time I was looking at the Farmer's Almanac. What's the winter going to be like? And it said it was going to be terrible, and we had a pretty easy winter last year, if you recall.
We did.
This year I didn't bother looking at it, but man, you know, seeing what's going on here with the temperature change going from, what, 70 this week down to 45 in a matter of a few hours, and then seeing like upstate New York getting hammered, the Great Lake region getting hammered, I'm not sure what we can expect here in North Carolina. You being a Florida boy, I know your head's always in the sunshine, but I know you probably feel it more than the rest of us, Jason. Are you in the holiday spirit yet, Jason? Christmas shopping,
yeah.
All that done?
Because Thanksgiving fell later than usual, I guess, the shopping season for the holidays feels condensed. So yeah, we're very much in the midst of, and you know, now in 2024, you know, it used to be like, hey, write out your Christmas list. Now it's, hey, send us your Amazon wish list for the kids, and we've got to curate all that. So yeah, we're knee deep in it.
I hear it. You know, that's funny. I got a text message from my son with a list of things after only like begging him, okay, have it to me by Thanksgiving so I can get into the Black Friday sales. Of course, Black Friday is all month now. But I get into this, I was talking with my mom because she's asking me, what can we send the grandkids? And so I wound up remembering, hey, Mom, remember back when I was a kid, I used to handwrite out the Christmas list like 2 months in advance. I'd put them on the refrigerator, and then I'd rewrite it in like better penmanship and draw pictures on it and have the price. And here's, you can get it from JCPenney for $10 or whatever. And I'm like, now my kids, I've got to like beg them to give me an idea of what to get them. How things change, Jason. I have to say, before we get to our guest, I want to mention one other thing about this season of change that we're in now. This, and I know this is going to go over the heads of our younger listeners, and for our older listeners, they're going to go, okay, get with it, kid. This is my last Christmas in my 40s. I'm turning 50 in 10 weeks and one day, but who's counting? And I have to say, this year has been a year of me letting go, because I've been very cognizant of this milestone year coming up for me. And, you know, it's like, wow, I'm definitely not a kid anymore. I'm not even a young adult anymore. And it's, you know, it takes sometimes a while for some people to kind of adjust to that and to let go and to not only realize that, you know, this is just a part of life, but it's essential to get with the program. And so I'm taking a bit of my advice, Jason. And, you know, I've been with AARP 17 years now. I've been on this career path 25 years. And approaching finally hitting 50, getting to that point where I'm saying, okay, I need to really start taking seriously some of all this great advice I've been giving out for so many years to people who are 50 plus. And embrace. And the first step of that is embracing the change. and realizing it's okay to look at things differently, to feel differently about things, to be the best person you can be, and to define aging on your own terms. And one other big change that we're going through next year, Jason, I think we can probably share this with our audience, is that we are changing our format for the show up beginning in January. Just so folks know, we're not going to be on the air broadcasting Sundays at 1 anymore. We're going to be living online as a podcast twice a month. Good news is, though, we are going to continue to be getting produced by Jason here in the studio, meeting here at WPTF, which is wonderful. Radio ads promoting the programs every week, which is going to be great. But also, you know, we don't have exactly the same time restrictions we have on this half-hour slot here on the air. And we also have the opportunity to occasionally shoot video. You know, video podcasting is huge now, so occasionally we'll be able to do that in the future. So, good things coming ahead, embracing the change. You know, this particular change wasn't one we were planning on, but we got to do what we got to do. And we've got to go roll with the punches and make lemonade out of lemons when they come in front of us here. So let's change gears here and get to the good stuff, folks. Returning to the show, I'm very happy to have back with us North Carolina Secretary of State Elaine Marshall, who was just recently reelected and is actually celebrating 30 years of public service and was just recognized this week for doing so. So, Secretary Marshall, congratulations on your reelection and your 30-year service, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Public service is quite rewarding. I want to thank everybody for allowing me the opportunity. Kind of renewed my contract back in November. Mm-hmm. But public service is really valuable, and the kind of things that we're going to talk about here today are quite important to people and their pocketbooks.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and it's been a pleasure for AARP being able to work with you and your team just to, you know, be effective with getting good information out to people. So for those listening who may not know, let's just start with a real basic question here. What is the Secretary of State in North Carolina? What is it that the office does?
Well, we do a variety of things. Most of them support business. We're business infrastructure. Businesses are formed within the office. Notaries are regulated there. I regulate the securities industry. And one of the things we're going to talk about here today is charitable solicitation. The office is very old. It's actually older than the state of North Carolina because the colonial governor had a colonial secretary of state to keep records. And if you fast forward today, through all those many years, we still keep records, things that the General Assembly wants us to keep an account of or the state to have an account of. I jokingly say I'm the secretary of stuff. So the legislature will say certain things should be filed with us. And we have a lot of things that are filed. And then there's another layer on top of that. Not all of them, but many of them, we have some regulatory authority. And charitable solicitation organizations and the solicitors are, in certain circumstances, are required to file with us. And we do a report every year about how that's going. So, and I do have law enforcement area also in the charitable solicitation for complaints because unfortunately there are scammers out there. But the better thing about that is to prevent the crime, keep the money in your pocketbook rather than us having to go after somebody to try to get it back.
Absolutely. And we're definitely going to talk about that. I do want to back up to something, one of the first things you said about businesses, and recall back, you've been here, I think, on the show three times maybe now. One of the times we had you on we're just getting out of the pandemic. And business, it seemed, as I recall, during that discussion,
a rocket.
Yeah, applications for new businesses were really, really high. How has that trend played out since then?
Well, it has played out about the same way. I mean, we're wondering when is it going to ease off.
Wow.
We increased 50,000 one particular year, and for the years beginning from the pandemic up until now, we've been vacillating between a high point of 178,000 in one year. 172,000. So we're somewhere in that range. And this year, we're maybe beginning to see that flatten out a little bit. And how you count for the disaster in Western North Carolina. Mm. Clearly, there are people there that are trying to pull their lives together the best they can. And maybe not necessarily starting new business enterprises, but we just don't know that hurricane and the losses are going to have a profound effect on this state. And it's still a story to be told about how it affects business. But every day that we're open, we are creating between 650 and 700 new business entities. That's in the high-low, 172 to 178, divided by the number of business days. I give great thanks to my staff and the technology we had to put in place, which was a good thing, in order to handle all of that volume.
I have to say, that's incredible volume, and that's got to be, I mean, hats off to you and your team for being able to manage that workload. And I just have to dig a little bit deeper into that. Why do you think it is that this is such an attractive place for people to start businesses?
Everything about us.
Right.
it is quality education. It is the mild temperate climate. It is the business focus of the state. We've got a lot of research going on here, bio-life sciences, all kinds of technology research. With our higher education, people are coming here, then they like it here, and then they bring their families here and the grandparents. And when you look at what economic developers look at, there are things like education attainment, the quality of life, transportation, environment in general. Taxation is down about number 9 on a list of 10, but we do have a favorable climate. We do have a wonderful community college system which helps businesses to train people specialized. And we're an entrepreneurial state. I mean, ever since the beginning of the research triangle, it was all about innovation, all about innovation, all about innovation. And that has never abated. We still are a very innovative state.
Wow, fantastic. And again, hats off to you and your team for having the capacity to be able to manage all that, given all of the incentives that are here, as you just mentioned. When we return after this commercial break, we're going to continue our conversation with North Carolina Secretary of State Elaine Marshall. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with North Carolina Secretary of State Elaine Marshall about the business climate here in North Carolina. And we're going to switch gears to talk about charity fraud. Charity fraud, as we know, Madam Secretary, has always been a problem during the holiday season and after a natural disaster. Hurricane Helene, has charity fraud around the storm been a big problem here? What's that situation been like?
Well, fortunately, we have not gotten complaints about that. Now, beginning with the day after, both my office and the Attorney General's office were aggressive with putting out information about what to watch for in the Attorney General space, about gouging, price gouging to clear things and what have you. So we've been doing a very, very active role in trying to let people know how to measure a good charity, how to avoid being scammed, what are the telltale things to look for, and how they can determine what is a good charity that's worthy of their trust and investment.
So that's great that there hasn't been a wave of frauds going on around the storm, especially considering how devastating it was for those people out there.
At least from our standpoint, you know, we see a lot of international, when there's a big hurricane somewhere or earthquake somewhere, the feds tell me this is like whack-a-mole. They can take fake websites off and then the organizations put another one back up, put another one back up. So I have every idea that people in other parts of this country are being defrauded and duped, thinking their money's coming to Western North Carolina, and it's not really. You know, there are two things. They're actually the fake frauds, and then they're the inefficient frauds, the folks that are inefficient organizations, have a good heart, but don't have the wherewithal to do the massive effort that is needed. They don't have the contacts to coordinate and what have you. So it's frequently better to deal with a known entity that has a good track record. I was just with the Baptists on Mission individuals, and it's just amazing the organizational structure that they have to come in there with food first and then secure rehab properties to the fact that people can have water, electricity, and heat, and they don't do much more. They have a kitchen and a refrigerator and a sink and a bathroom, but they don't do anything else to upfit the thing and what have you, and they move on to help the next family, mm-hmm. the next family, and try to get a whole lot of people elevated to a certain habitable level that's certainly not luxurious, but where they can be with their property because they want to stay there. Mm. They want to watch to see that bad things don't happen because they're not close by. So
that's good to hear the good examples like that. Speaking of charities, you do a lot in, you know, the work you have to educate people. You have a charity registry on your website. Tell us a bit about that, and just generally, how does your team determine if a charity is legitimate or not?
Okay, by state law, we only regulate a certain narrow group of charities. It's mostly those who either pay a fundraiser or have a solicitation contract to take a certain percentage of it. The most complaints we get are like soliciting without a license. So if you're being approached by somebody, you need to go to our database. That's sosnc.gov, CSL, /CSL, and then you can see what their track record is. We have investigators that investigate whether one is fake to go ahead and answer your question. Mm-hmm. We do get a lot of complaints, though, however, about misuse of money. And so people are being very vigilant about trying to find effective use of their dollars. Because when you give a charity, that's your trust, that's your investment in a hope for somebody else. You know, whether it's animals, whether it's older people, whether it's a hurricane area, just impoverished people in general, children in general. You know, that's where people want most of their money to go.
Right. They want to see, and that big percentage of their contribution going to what it is and not administrative costs and all that type of stuff.
Unfortunately, we can't mandate that. That's a Supreme Court decision many, many years ago that we can't say you can't operate unless the organization gets, say, 75%. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a buyer beware, a giver beware. If you really want the maximum amount of your dollar to go there, check on our website and you'll see consistently year after year. And if it's like below 50%, maybe you need to go look for another charity that's in the same zone.
Right.
One of the things I would say that if you get an unknown solicitation, especially on email, do not click any link on that. Just do not click any link on that. If it looks interesting to you, go ahead and get out of that. Then go do your own research. And if that matches up with the solicitation you got, then you might want to donate through that web address. But these the telephone calls and the text and the unsolicited emails are really, really ripe for fraud. If you've not dealt with that organization before, now if you've given to somebody here and they're re-soliciting this year, like the food bank and what have you, they do an awful lot of solicitations. Mm-hmm. And they have a very high percentage of what they receive that actually goes to feeding people.
Mm-hmm. Now, on your website, so suppose somebody gets an email, like my inbox is filled with solicitations right now, and I say, I'm not going to click on the link. I'm going to go to your website, sosnc.gov, and I see you have a search feature in there.
That's right.
Enter the name of it and hit it, and then it'll be able to tell you whether they've been vetted through the state or not, correct?
Well, you're going to have to look at different years to see that they're there. They would have to be, if they're in there, they've been registered with us. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that's actually vetted with us because some might only have 10% that go to.
Gotcha.
You know, so you as a giver have got to decide where your benchmark is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good to know. What should people do if they get a, you know, wind up being scammed? Is it you that they call? Is it the Attorney General's office that they call?
Well, first off, there is no wrong door. If you call the Attorney General, they will flip it over to us.
Okay.
And we do the same thing if we get misdirected complaints. What they need to do is get as much information as they possibly can. And sometimes that's difficult because this is after the fact. Screenshots of something that you've received are very important. If it's a telephone call, we have an investor checklist, but you need to get as much information as you possibly can if some telemarketer is calling you. You need to find out, are they a part of the organization or are they a paid solicitor? You know, they need to tell you what part. And the only way you'll know if they're telling you the truth is if you go validate it with us.
Mm.
If they really try to put pressure on you to give today, you know, that's not a good sign. That is absolutely not a good sign. So there are a couple telltale things where they aggressive marketers are in this business also. It's not just selling some product. It's trying to get your money for charity. And there are a lot of sad stories that make us all really want to give, whether it's children, sicknesses, animals. You know, there are stories out there that will touch our heart. But that's why, you know, this is an investment in curing that problem, in meeting that need. And so it's people just need to slow down, do a little bit of research. They can give tomorrow as good as they can give today. You know, do the research and make sure that your money is going to do its maximum good.
And you've got some really great resources and tips on your website, too.
Right.
I want to ask you, make sure we have time to ask you about this report that your team recently released on charitable solicitations and giving for the last year. Some surprising data in that. Can you share with us what that report revealed?
Well, yeah. It's I guess disappointing is probably the right answer. Charitable, I know that people in North Carolina are very, very generous, but the times are not as good for some people, and people that used to give are now recipients of aid at different places. The overall giving in the state was down. It totaled just over $27 million in the year of July 1, 23 to June 30 of 22. It's the state fiscal year that's the reporting year. And it was down. Out of that $27 million, the charities got $16.4 million. So the volume was down and the percentage was down. So that was 15% less to the charities than we had last year over a larger amount of money. Mm-hmm. So charitable giving, I think the inflation and people's expectations about the future and tax deduction thing kicked in a couple years ago, but people didn't realize exactly how that was working. And they upped the deduction so people don't get a chance to take a charitable deduction unless you're a larger giver. So, you know, there's just a couple different things. We have no actual information. This is all guesstimates on our part and other people's
parts. And that makes sense. I guess you're right. It's not surprising so much because it does make sense given these factors that you
and everything costs more for the charity to
put
on events or, you know, drive Meals on Wheels. Gas is coming down now, but gas did go up during this time period.
That's great. Well, that's great information you're sharing with us. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Secretary Marshall, happy holidays to you and your family. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and we hope to have you back on again.
Thank you. We don't want to discourage anybody from giving because the need is great. It's always advisable to give locally, even if you want to affect something in another country. Give it through Rotary Clubs. Give it through Methodist Men. Give it through Baptists on Mission because they do worldwide work if that's your passion. But you'll have local contacts on those right here where you can follow up on your contribution.
Great words to end with. Thanks to Secretary Marshall for being our guest. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. Happy holidays. We'll see you next time.